Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Mr. Martinez.
Okay, who is Mr. Martinez?
I do.
Honorable Mr. Johnson will serve as your lead, sir, so just hold on to your phone.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, afternoon. Sir, could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Yeah, it's Chris Martinez, 1-5-1-8-3.
Okay, Mr. Martinez, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. And to my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Westby, sir. Mr. Martinez, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yeah, I remember getting a piece of paper saying that I was able to come to this hearing.
Okay. So on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf of the hired licensed attorney at your own expense. Would you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I didn't have any time to hire an attorney, so I think I'm representing myself today.
Okay. All right, Mr. Martinez, at this time I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Mr. Martinez, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then we're going to go to phase two, where the board will make a determination whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one, sir. You have two allegations listed on your warrant, Mr. Martinez. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Okay, so the first allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13B, as demonstrated by your failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval is given to you by your supervising officer on or about August 9, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
I really don't recall anything like that.
Okay, so I'm going to...
I think that was just standard procedure to have known that parole. It was just like that, but I don't remember being said anything like that to him, and I was told that I would have to contact my parole officer and let him know where I'm at, and more time that I'm not out of prison.
All right, I'm going to mark that as false, and we'll discuss it farther, get some more information on it, and then we'll discuss it farther in phase two. The next allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to sign Arizona Condition of Supervision, specifically sex offenders conditions, on or about August 10, 2018, as verbally directed on August 10, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay. All right, sir, we got to go. Because you said allegation number one is false, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, to get some additional information on allegation number one. Mr. Westby.
On August 9, 2018, the defendant was released from AFPC Island Cook Unit on KIS status. The defendant was transported by ADC staff to the Phoenix Electronic Monitoring Unit located at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona 85034 for his initial intake. The Arizona conditions of supervision include sex offender conditions were explained to, acknowledged, and signed by the defender. The defendant was released from prison with pre-approved placement. The defendant didn't provide any proposed placements and requested to reside homeless. The defendant was approved to reside transient in the area 16th Street and Buckeye Road, Phoenix, Arizona. On August 9, 2018 at 9 p.m., attendee electronic monitoring reported that the offender incurred an all-night home curfew violation. GPS points were reviewed. The offender did not, nor did he make any attempts to stay at his approved transient location at 16th Street and Buckeye Road, Phoenix, Arizona. The defendant's GPS point showed that the defendant was at Central Arizona Shelter Services, CAS, at 12th Avenue Madison in Phoenix from 21:50 hours until 021 hours of August 10, 2018. The defendant then left CAS and walked to a Circle K convenience store located near 1st Avenue Fillmore in Phoenix, Arizona. The defendant then walked down to Van Buren and stood in the area of a bar near 5th Avenue Van Buren from 0120 hours to 0227 hours. The defendant then went back to CAS. The defendant did not have permission nor did he make any attempt to contact CCO Burr regarding his failure to comply with his curfew and stay in his approved transit location at 801 at 16th Street in Buckeye Road, Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, sir, so what's not anything that's not true about that, sir?
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he was talking about, but he was saying that I guess he had followed me around or something like that and then had finally violated me. And there were some conditions or something that were supposed to be applied or something like that. And I guess it was a couple days later or something like that that he had mentioned or something. Something about something like that, I violated or something like that. I basically violated because I walked around or something.
Well, basically, you said that you were assigned to the area of 16th Street and Buckeye, I believe it was.
Yes.
And you were to stay in that area during a specific time that they told you, and you left that area, you went to CAS, and you went some other places after you got up that morning. So it's basically what it was saying. But I'm going to go and move this far so we can go to phase two. I'm going to say, based on the information on warrant number 2018W2319 and information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, as well as to Mr. Martinez's admission to allegation number two, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Martinez, based on that information and his admission, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses, about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start off phase two. We'll get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then I'm going to come back to you and go over some information that will give you the opportunity to provide any additional information to the board, sir, okay? Mr. Westby.
On August 9th, 2018, Mr. Martinez was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested on August 10th, 2018 by ADC staff. No new charges. He was back in DOC custody on August 10th, 2018, with a projected community supervision ending of August 12th, 2019, 0 abscondes. Current conviction, 2014, arson occupied structure, 7 years. Prior convictions, 2001, lawful use of means of transportation, 6 months. 2001, criminal trespass, first degree, 6 months. 2002, theft of means of transportation, 4.5 years. 2002, burglary, second degree, 2.5 years. 2002, sexual conduct with a minor, 5 years. This is his third term in DOC. CUIR score, 3.3. Mental health score, 2. Substance abuse score, 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2010. TLS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are significant with violence and weapons noted. Community risk score. Excuse me. There's no other arrest on record. Community risk score is a G5B6. He is a level 3 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable. The victim was a 10-year-old female. DCAC is cited in court docs.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, sir. Mr. Martinez, I see that when you were released on August 9th, you were released and from prison without a career parole placement. You requested to reside homeless, and you were approved to reside in the transit area of 16th Street in Buckeye. However, you failed to comply and reside at that approved transit location. So why did you stay in that area of 16th Street in Buckeye?
I don't know. I remember being on community supervision, and they told me that they had violated me for a conscious stuff, and so I told him that I left. So I'm not sure exactly what they were talking about, but they said that they had tracked me or something like that, but I told the parole officer and I had left, so he told me that he repeated it to me and said that they had me on some type of like monitoring bracelet or something, but I don't remember being put on any monitoring bracelet.
Okay, so
They told me that I would get released on community supervision, and they told me to sign some type of such a thing or addendum thing or something, and I refused out of it. So they released me and told me I have to contact my parole officer. So I don't know exactly who it was that, I don't remember being put on the bracelet.
Okay.
So I left, they released me and I left from there and I caught a bus.
Okay. So
I went to CAS and then I was there. And so when they arrested me, that's what I explained to them. But they said that they had me on some type of monitoring thing. So I couldn't hear what they're talking about, but I don't remember being at all on anything like that.
Alright, so when you were first released, you caught them putting an ankle monitor on you on your ankle?
I don't remember them doing anything like that at all for me.
Well, you had an ankle monitor on your ankle. You don't remember having an ankle monitor on your ankle, sir?
They never put anything like that on my ankle. And they told me something about some sex offender or thing, and I refused it, and then they released me. And so they had released me, I'm pretty sure of, because they keep saying that they had did something and they said they had monitored me.
Okay.
And so I don't remember signing any company saying I need to like stay specifically at that part. And I don't remember, I just remember telling them about it, because he had asked me what was I doing out. And I explained to them the reason. I said, I got released and they tried to make me sign some sex offender stuff and some type of they tried to make me sign some sex offender stuff and I told them I refused it.
Okay, so when you were arrested, sir, they put the monitor on your, they asked you how come you didn't charge a monitor, and you told them that the charger and everything was stolen from you right after you were released. So you know you had a monitor, huh?
Yeah, they gave me a charger, and I was leaving from the parole office. And a couple guys had, I guess they were homeless, I guess, and then they wanted the box, so there was like five of them, and they took the box from me, and left with it, so I don't know what happened like that after, and they kept asking me about it, and I was out there, they said they had some type of monitoring bracelet on me, and I was out there for like 4 or 5 days. So they're saying I was supposed to charge it or something like that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure exactly when it went after, like when it was charged again or something, but there was no sex offenders when I got out that was there. So so I couldn't use one. And so I couldn't figure out exactly what he was talking about, but he said that I had one on me.
Let me get some additional.
What are you talking about, yeah?
Mr. Martinez, let me get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby.
Yes, there was a criminal month from, excuse me. On this 9/2018, there is a formal entry from City Hall to Florida that states during the entry take he read and acknowledged and understand signed all conditions of supervision include sex offender conditions, GPS conditions, and the offender was placed on electronic monitoring due to an offender being registered notifiable sex offender who was convicted of dangerous crimes against children. The WMTD was secured on the offender's ankle and verified before in GPS points. GPS points were cross-verified by Pierre Poe. It was drug registered as a sex offender, it was registered where his residence was going to be. When you do, when you put the ankle bracelet on, and they have to verify points, they will have the offender generally walk around and they will go in and go and take them outside or whatever to make sure that the satellite is picking up points. So he would have had knowledge that he had his bracelet on and seeing it was put on in the office. And later the following day, when he had an incident where he then left his zone, whether P.O. Burke, P.O. Butcher, P.O. Van Gundy, and P.O. Phillips located and revealed his GPS points that he was in an agitated state, and he had made statements to him like, you guys put this GPS device on me, I'm not a sex offender, so he balled up his fist, you know, as he began to conduct a pat-down search for weapons. So he was away on a GPS device at that time, and took him back to the office to go ahead and staff him and make a family conversation. He had a one-way conversation with himself, continuing to state he wasn't a sex offender. But then I see a note on here. I don't know if this, I don't believe this information is in a warrant. This is from Sheriff Officer Ferretta, the United States. It says, when he transported electronic monitoring unit to staff as a senior officer, he observed the offender's eyes were bloodshot and glossy. He was questioned if he ingested any illicit substances since his initial intake. He did not ingest any substances while in prison or since his release from supervision. He provided a saliva specimen for testing for illicit substances. He was questioned if he was around anyone who could have been a drug user. He stated he was around a friend and had to take a drink from a Slurpee ice drink earlier in the day. However, he didn't feel high. He began to become argumentative and claimed he wasn't a sex offender. However, he was convicted of a sex offense and is required to register with Arizona GPS as a sex offender. He said he isn't a sex offender, he won't comply with sex offender conditions. Suggests that the new set of conditions, which include sex offender conditions for search, and we sign them again and comply, stating no on the sex offender, so no, I won't sign them. He refused to sign his conditions. And we stated we won't follow compliance with sex offender conditions and his return. So the whole time he had his intake until after he left his area, his inclusion zone was where he was supposed to be staying, 16th of July. They didn't bring him back to try to staff this with him and make sure he understood what he needed to do, and he refused to comply.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Board, have any additional questions? Then the board has no additional questions. Mr. Martinez, the board's coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself?
No.
Okay. They said the board's going to go into discussion. The board was kind of going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. I need you to stay on the line while the board's in discussion. I'll get back to you with the conclusion of the board, and we'll let you know what the decision of the board is, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. The board is now into discussion. It's apparent that Mr. Martinez was staffed, and he did have on the monitor system that they put on him. He didn't charge it. He says that someone stole the charger when right after he left the parole office, and he caught the bus and went over to task. They did check the monitor and were able to locate him the following day. Took him down to the office and tried to discuss and go over the details with him, and he just kind of refused to go through and saying that he wasn't a sex offender. However, he is a convicted level 3 sex offender, which involved a 10-year-old female at the time, and he did leave his inclusion zone overnight and go to CAPS, and they checked his points. And so based on our conversation today with Mr. Martinez and the information contained in warrant number 2018W2319, I don't feel that Mr. Martinez would be a good candidate to be released again out on community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
They will disagree.
Therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Martinez, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second, Mrs. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Neal and Mr. Condemnos. Okay, Mr. Martinez?
Yeah.
So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on August 12th of 2019. During this time, sir, you won't be on any parole or community supervision at that time. We do want to wish you the best of luck, sir, and the best of luck. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. Could you please just set the phone down so the next person could come in?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Set it down.